How lovely to start a service with such an introduction. And we thank Kerry Williams and Danum Camerata for leading us this morning in that wonderful recital before our morning service, preparing our hearts to worship God. And we look forward to your leading our praise along with our choir throughout this service. We come before God in prayer. We have sung to God in prayer about the importance of prayer through that lovely introit. Now we're going to come before God in prayer ourselves. Let us worship him. God calls us to worship and we come, some with laughter and songs of joy, some from a sense of obligation or habit, some with hearts heavy with grief. God calls us to worship and we come, some with distraction or exhaustion, some with eagerness and enthusiasm, some with stress, loneliness, or depression. As God's dearly loved children, we bring all our joy and pain, hurt and hope, into this place of Spirit-given grace, love, hope, and forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, for the things we have done that we regret. And forgive us, Lord, for the things we have failed to do. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times we have acted without love. And for all the times we have failed to forgive. Forgive us, Lord, for hurtful words said and helpful words left unsaid, for our unfinished tasks and for our unfulfilled expectations. Forgive us, Lord, heal and restore us and reconcile us to yourself and to one another in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The congregational hymns in the service this morning are Irish hymns, or hymns with a hint of Ireland. Not that we're going to compete against Wales, of course, but we celebrate different nations coming together to worship God this morning through music and prayer, and we'll leave the rugby aside for this morning. But as Irish Presbyterians, we also have a very close connection to the Psalter, to the Psalms of God's people. And our early forefathers, when they worshipped, worshipped only by singing the Psalms and only by singing them unaccompanied. And so our music stems in the Presbyterian heritage from psalm singing. And it's just a delight to be here this morning and to open our worship to God as we use one of those psalms, the metrical Psalm 100, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Now, unlike the Scottish forefathers, we're going to actually be accompanied this morning. But let us all stand together and bring our praise to our great God using this wonderful psalm. So with our hearts ringing with praise, I'd like to invite any children in the congregation to come up to the front, and we're going to talk a little bit about music and worshipping God together. Right, great to have you. We've got two more still coming up. Great. Lovely. Well, what did you think of all that music this morning? Wasn't it fabulous? Really, oh, look, we've got a lovely elephant. He makes a triumphant noise too, doesn't he? Your cousin Adam let you borrow it. Isn't that lovely for this morning? That is brilliant. And you know, it's lovely to be here and to sing our praises to God and to listen to some wonderful music. Who here plays a musical instrument? Anybody play? Oh, excellent. What do you play? Pipes. You play the pipes? Oh, they could give the organ a run for its money. Yes. You play the guitar. That's brilliant, Jamie. What do you play?
The recorder and the flute.
The recorder and the flute. And is your mummy in the band here this morning, is she? Is she the lady that played the oboe? Yes, isn't she fabulous? I saw you taking a picture of your mummy too. Lovely. And what about you?
Play the guitar.
You play the guitar. Anybody else play anything? Anybody want to play anything? Anybody inspired by these people this morning? Wouldn't you love to play something, Joshua?
Waka.
Oh, fabulous. So, I'm going to ask the choir, if they would like to play their favourite tune. Would you want to hear their favourite tune? Yeah. Okay, so each of you choose your favourite tune. Off you go. Oh, I'm so sorry. Joshua, what did you do as soon as you heard that? Hands over ears. Evie's face. Ooh. She went, ooh, like that, didn't you? Why was that? They were playing their favourite tune. Why was it? It didn't sound.
It didn't sound like a real tune.
It didn't sound like a real tune. And earlier, weren't they playing real tunes that all worked together? Weren't they? What was the difference? What was the difference? They were all playing their favourite tune at the same time, and all the tunes were different because each of them have a different favourite tune. And so they were playing what they wanted to play, and it sort of clashed, didn't it? It made a horrible noise. But I think they could make a lovely noise. Do you think they could? If they would all play something together. So let's hear. That was lovely. We were swaying here, weren't we, Joshua, to the music, and there were lovely smiles in people's faces. Anybody know what that tune was? Yeah. Well, you might. Anybody know?
No.
It's all right. We're going to sing it in a little minute, and you will know it. It's All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. And it reminds us of the wonder and the diversity of God's world, from all the different animals that there are to the different human beings that are gathered here to the talents that each of us have. And particularly this morning, we rejoice in the talent that people have with regard to playing music. But we learned a lesson this morning. If we do things our own way and only keep things the way we want, then we clash with other people. But what God wants us to do is to unite together in harmony and to bring our praises to him. And so I hope we've learned a little bit this morning about how we can praise God by praising him together and in harmony in everything that we do in life and in worship. So after this hymn, the children are going to go out to children to Sunday school. And if, what is your name, by the way?
Dobby.
If you would like to go out to Sunday school, or she can stay in, whichever she wishes. You can choose. Do you want to go out with the children, or do you want to stay in? You want to stay in. That's all right. You can stay in. And the rest are going to go. Now, you're not going this morning into the Rowan Hall. You're going to go upstairs into the lecture hall. You'll have your lesson there. So we're going to stand together now and worship God as we sing that hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Last hymn, as many of you gathered here will know, was written by Cecil Frances Alexander. And she was an Irish woman born in Dublin who married a Church of Ireland rector and came to live in Strabane area, about 20 miles away from here. And she was a composer of great hymns, particularly focused on children, but teaching the truths of the Christian gospel through song. So it was a delight to be able to sing that this morning. And so we're going to cross the water to another great hymn writer, to Wesley, and the choir are now going to lead us in their anthem, Lead Me, Lord.
Thank you.
I'd like to bring your attention to some of our notices this morning. Don't worry, the choir, they're also taking part in Sunday school, so they're going off to teach some lessons now after singing for us. I just want to draw your attention to some notices. Denham Camerata, obviously, are with us this morning. It's lovely to have you here. They're here in the Omagh area for the next few days, and their finale will be a concert in St. Columba's Church of Ireland on Wednesday evening. They are a charitable choir, and they have a generous heart in that they aren't charging for their performances, but instead are raising funds for charities. And so John and Kerry and the Camerata have chosen to support two local charities, the NSPCC and the cancer research charities that operate here in Omagh. And particularly, we have members on the local charity commissions of both those charities. So the funds that will be raised from the concert on Wednesday evening will go towards those two charities. So if you haven't had an opportunity yet to purchase a ticket, then please do so and come along and support the Camerata in their performance on Wednesday evening. You may not be able to attend, but you might want to give a donation to the charities, and so there will be a retiring offering after today's service. Today is a very busy day. We have our Sunday lunch bunch immediately after church today, and Denham Camerata are going to join us for lunch, so thank you to Ivy and her team for providing lunch for us today. As I'd mentioned to the children, they're upstairs in the lecture hall today, so parents need to go upstairs to pick up the children rather than wait downstairs at the entrance to the Rowan Hall. And then an advance notice for next Sunday. Next Sunday is our communion service at 11:30 and at 7 o'clock. In the past, for communion Sunday, Sunday school didn't operate when it met before church. But now that we meet at the same time as Sunday school and the children meet here first before going to their lessons, we're going to continue that next week. So everyone comes together for worship at 11:30. There'll be a short children's talk explaining that to the children how we celebrate communion, and then they'll go out to their Sunday school class, jigsaw or blast. Hopefully you can pass the word on to parents to let them know that is happening next week. The rest of the notices you can read at your leisure. I'd like to turn now to our scripture, first scripture reading this morning, which is actually from the New Testament. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, and this can be found on page 254 of the Bibles in the pews. This is what God says to us this morning. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your heart. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Amen, and we thank God for his word to us. We have sung some songs that have been written by Irish men and women, put to music by our Scottish forefathers. We're now going to include the English in our considerations today. just for today, and again, we're not thinking of the rugby. But there's a great partnership, a current modern partnership between Stuart Townend and Keith Geddie, that have produced a number of new contemporary hymns for congregational singing. And one of those is Hymn 514, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Keith Geddie is a native of Northern Ireland, and Stuart Townend is an Englishman. But together they have worked and cooperated with one another and written some beautiful songs for contemporary hymn singing. This particular hymn was actually sung the night of my ordination here in First Oma, so it has a particular meaning to me. So let us stand together and sing hymn 514, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Turn now to our second scripture reading, which will be read for us by Annette Dews, who has accompanied Denim Camerata here this weekend. It's Psalm 150, and this can be found on page 628 of the Old Testament section of the Bibles in the pews. Psalm 150. Annette.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise his strength in heaven. Praise him for the mighty things he has done. Praise his supreme greatness. Praise him with trumpets. Praise him with harps and lyres. Praise him with drums and dancing. Praise him with cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Annette. I'd now like to call one of our elders, William Swan, forward, who's going to lead us in our prayers for others. William.
Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for a night of restful sleep in warm, comfortable beds, surrounded by the people that we love in the place that we call home. Lord God, we remember those who spent last night on the pavements of our town, on our cities, and in our country. Lord God, we remember those who ministered to them who give of their time and their talents and provided them with tea, with soup, and with clothing to keep them warm. Lord God, we pray and we give you thanks for those within our church, within our wider church that looks after them. Thank particularly of the Salvation Army and those who give their time there. Lord God, we thank you for the food that we have eaten this morning. And we look forward to the lunch that we will all receive later on. We pray for those that who today have not enough to eat, whose thoughts, instead of being happier with where their next meal will come from. We remember those who use food banks. We remember those in faraway nations that just don't have enough to eat. We pray, Lord God, that us that has so much and have so much, that we may share it with others that don't have. Lord God, we pray this day for the 39 people who lost their lives so tragically this week in England. We pray for their families so far away in Vietnam, perhaps in China. We pray, Lord God, that the questions that they have to ask will be answered, and that the grief that they're feeling at this time will only be tempered by your love. We know, Lord God, that these people are human beings that are made by you, and their lives was not meant to be lost like this. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us and help those in authority to stamp down on human trafficking. We pray, Lord God, also this day for our NHS as we move from the autumn into the winter period. We pray for those, dear Lord, who look after us and look after our hospitals, our doctors and our nurses. We pray for even the cleaners, for everyone that's involved. And we know that the stresses and strains that they will carry over the next few months, we pray, Lord, that you will be with them and that you will help them. Lord God, we pray also for those who in the coming months will go out at night, will grit our roads, will use snow ploughs in times when we have snow. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord, and we pray that you will keep them safe as well. Lord God, we also pray as we come near the season of remembrance. We remember all those who gave their lives in the First and Second World Wars. We remember those even in more recent times who gave their lives in this our province. Lord God, they give their tomorrows for our today. May we never forget them. Lord, we also pray this day for our church. Pray for Jane, our minister, and we give thanks to you for the work that she has done here amongst us. We give you thanks, Lord God, for Emma and for the work that she has done. We pray, Lord, for our session, and we pray that you will guide us, that our worship may be acceptable unto you each and every week here. We pray, Lord God, for our Sunday school, for our teachers. We pray that as we try to teach the children, that you will plant seeds deep inside them that will yield much harvest for your glory. Pray, Lord God, for all those in need today around this world. We pray that you will bless each and every one of us that are here. We pray that you will walk with us this week, Lord, that you will keep us safe, and that you will bring us all back again next week to praise you. We ask all these things and bring all these prayers to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, William. Psalm 150 tells us, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." The word Alleluia means Alle means boast, and Yah means Yahweh or God. So Hallelujah literally means let us boast in God. Let us praise God. Let us praise the Lord. It is a word which expresses heartfelt emotion to our great God for all that he has done and for all that he is. We are called to sing Hallelujah, God be praised. The famous Alleluia chorus was composed by George Frederick Handel as the closing section of part two of his third part masterpiece, Messiah, in 1741. when Messiah was first performed in front of King George II, he famously stood up during the singing of the Hallelujah chorus, and the rest of the audience rose to its feet as well, because when the king stood, everybody stood. That tradition, as many of you know, still carries on today. Anytime Messiah is performed, whether in a church hall, the Albert Hall, or the Sydney Opera House, the audience rise to their feet during the singing of the Alleluia chorus, and then retake their seats for the final section of Messiah. But what was it that caused King George to stand up during the singing of the Alleluia chorus? We don't really know. Some say that he was so deeply moved by the composition that he felt compelled to stand, giving a personal standing ovation. But the performance was clearly not over, and it was highly unlikely that the king would lower himself to do this. After all, he was the King of England and didn't have to stand for anyone. The words of the Alleluia chorus may give us a clue to his motivation. The lyrics for that section of the Messiah are taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 9 and verse 6. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And verse 16, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Revelation 11 and 5, he shall reign forever and ever. No wonder the Alleluias rang out loud and resounding. God be praised indeed. So perhaps the King of England stood to acknowledge a greater King, King Jesus, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. We don't know his reasons, but we do know that the composer Handel, after composing that section of the Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus, was found to be in floods of tears by his servant. And Handel said to his servant, I did think I did see all heaven before me, and the great God himself seated on the throne, with his company of angels. The Hallelujah chorus poured from the heart of the composer as his own personal Hallelujah to God. To God be all praise forever and ever. Handel was following in a long line of faith-filled composers who have written songs to help God's people bring heartfelt praises to their great God. A long line which stretches back to the psalmists themselves and to the composer of Psalm 150, which Annette read for us earlier. Psalm 150 is an Alleluia psalm. It comes at the end of the book of Psalms, and it is an exuberant and heartfelt song of praise to God. The word Alleluia is used 13 times in 6 short verses. And so it is indeed the Hallelujah chorus of the Psalter. Although it is a short psalm, it provides us with a lot of answers to the questions about how we should praise God. It tells us where we should praise him, why we should praise him, how we should praise him, and who should praise him. So let us look briefly at these 4 questions and discover what this Hallelujah psalm, written tens of thousands of years, can teach us about worshipping our great God in the 21st century. First of all, the question, where should God be praised? This psalm was no doubt written for the Levitical priests who led the people of Israel in worship in God's holy temple in Jerusalem. And so the first line of the psalm tells us that we should praise God in his temple. The temple, and specifically the Holy of Holies, which was behind the curtain, was where God's presence dwelt on earth with his people. In the temple, in the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. He offered the sacrifices on behalf of the people. But the Levitical priests led the people in worship through word and song, through musical instrument and through voice. The people gathered in the temple to offer their sacrifices, yes, but also to be in the place where God manifests his glory and communicates his grace to his people. They came to worship God in the temple and to bring him their alleluias. The temple in Jerusalem was a very special place. It was, as I said, the place where God's glory dwelt with his people, a holy place. We think of Psalm 84, which tells us, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me." The psalmist longs to be back in the temple of the courts of the living God. Today, we can very easily equate our church buildings to God's holy temple and think that it is here in this building that God dwells. It is certainly a very special place and a beautiful place, and I know the choir have really appreciated being, and the orchestra being here and leading us in worship in this magnificent building this morning. But since Christ came into the world, God's temple dwells in the hearts of believers. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." And Ephesians 21 tells us that in him, in Christ, the whole building is fitted together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord. So today we are called to praise God, not just when we gather here Sunday by Sunday to worship, but to praise him in all of our living, to praise him when we are in church and to praise him when we are at home, to praise him when we are walking in the countryside, and praise him when we're sitting in front of our computer screens. We should praise God in every aspect of our living. But there is something special about God's people gathering together to bring their hallelujahs to him. I often think how amazing it is that we are united through faith in Christ to so many other Christians in this world today. And as we gather on a Sunday in our churches and halls, in our cathedrals and warehouses, our praises rise to God from the east and from the west, from the breaking of the day to the end of the day. Millions of people will praise God in the world today. But amazing as that is, it is only a fraction of those who are praising God in heaven. As well as praising God in his temple, the psalmist tells us that God's praise is sung in the heavens too. The heavenly angels praise him continually around his throne, as do all those saints who have gone before us. When we praise God here on earth, we join with the multitudes of those who are praising God in heaven. They praise him continually and perfectly. We praise him imperfectly and intermittently. But it is a wonderful truth that when we bring our hallelujahs to God on earth, they are united with the hallelujahs that ring out in heaven. The music that we offer to God in our praise this morning is united with that heavenly music that is playing in heaven before the throne of God. Through praise, the saints on earth and in heaven are united together. And when I was thinking of this, I thought of my good friends Barbara and Sandra, whose dad Charlie sang in our church choir. Charlie was one of our elders, and he was a great friend to me as well, because I was good friends with his daughters. And we were at a funeral service, and the choir came in to lead the praise. The opening hymn started, and I can't remember the hymn. I was trying to think of it, and I couldn't remember. The hymn started, and at the beginning of the second verse, Charlie collapsed in the choir. And sadly, he passed away. And it was tragic for our church community and devastating for his family. But his wife and his sisters and his son took great comfort in the fact that Charlie started praising God on earth and finished that hymn, praising God in heaven. So the psalmist calls us to worship God in the world and to unite together and worship him in the heavens as well. So that's where we should praise God. Why should we praise God? Well, I don't know if you know this, Kerry, but people in Northern Ireland aren't very good at singing one another's praises. We're not so good on the compliments. And often a compliment here, some people can perceive it to be an insult. I know when I go on holiday with a group of English people, it takes a while for them to get familiar with my sense of humour, because we do tend to take the mickey out of one another as an expression. And so we're not quite so good at the fulsome praise to other people. We feel a little awkward and a little bit embarrassed about it. You wouldn't want to go up and give them a big head by telling them how great they are. It's something that can be said. Or you need to keep people grounded. You don't want them to get above themselves. You know, so we're not good at praising people. Unless, of course, they've done something extraordinary. And this week in our news, there was a 10-year-old boy who has been praised for his role in saving his mother's life. She had fallen down a 300-foot ravine on a mountain walk in Scotland. This young lad scrambled down to find his mother. He took her phone and he contacted the emergency services, followed their directions to keep his mother alive by keeping her conscious, and also was able to tell them where he was located, or at least the area in which he was located. His actions have earned him great praise indeed, and he will no doubt receive a bravery award, and rightly so. But we are called to bring our praises to God, to tell him how wonderful he is, to exult in the great things that he has done for us. And so the psalmist tells us that we are to praise him for the mighty acts he has done. Because God has done great things in this world. I could take all day to tell you the wonderful things that God has done, the wonders of creation, his providence in preparing and leading the way for his people as we seek to follow him, the grace that he gives to us when we haven't earned it, the redemption that he has paid for us through Christ's death on the cross, and the salvation that Jesus offers to all who trust in him. These are all great things that God has done for us. But most especially, he has created us to be his people. And especially, he has created this church, the church that meets in Jesus' name, to be his special people and to bring his hallelujahs to him. So we should spend time to give thanks to God for all he's done for us. And so I'd like to challenge you this afternoon or this evening or sometime during the week to take a quiet moment and take opportunity to raise your hallelujahs to God for the great things he's done in your lives. Because that's what the psalmist is calling us to do. To thank God, to praise him for what he's done for us. So let us take that time, sometime during this week, to thank him and to praise him for his great acts to us. And he also calls us to praise him for his supreme greatness. As well as praising God for the things he does in the world, we are to praise him for who he is, for his goodness, his greatness, his faithfulness, his justice, his mercy, his compassion, and most of all, his great love. We are to praise him, not to butter him up so that he'll grant us our requests. We are to praise him because of who God is. We might be a little reticent about praising someone in case they have feet of clay. But we could never overpraise our great God. Hymn writers, old and new, have been given a great talent to write songs of praise, to tell God what he already knows, how great he is. So this week, why not take a copy of the hymn book home with you if you don't have one at home, or put on a praise CD when you're in the car, and spend some time praising God for his greatness, raising your heartfelt alleluias to him in song. Maybe you might like to take the last five psalms in the book of Psalms, which are all hallelujah psalms, rejoicing in God's goodness and his greatness. Or maybe take Fanny Crosby's wonderful hymn, To God Be the Glory. Or Chris Tomlin, a modern hymn writer, his hymn, The Splendor of the King. And use these lyrics to help you to praise God, maybe even using them as a template for your own prayers. So we've looked at where we should praise God, and we've looked at why we should praise God. Now we're going to look at how we should praise God. The psalmist tells us to praise God with loud trumpets and tinkling tambourines, with clashing drums and soothing harps, with dancing feet and exuberant praise. Now, whilst we've had a lot of that this morning, and there might have been a few dancing feet, they've only been tapping, I doubt that we're going to have people dancing down the aisles at First Omagh this morning, but that is permissible within God's will. He wants us to dance and to sing and to praise him with everything that we have. The trumpet and the flute use the lungs and the lips and the breath of the musician in order to make their sound. The harps and the lyres use hands and heart to bring melodious tunes to God. The drums and the clashing cymbals are the hands and feet of the rhythm of our heartbeat of praise. Hands and feet, hearts and voices, are to join with every kind of instrument to bring praise to the Lord. And we are to sing to God with everything that we have. Now, one commentator I read said that the best music to God's ears is not a melodious string, but a melodious heart. And that phrase reminded me again of a situation in my past when 25 years ago I went to a singing workshop. It was in a contemporary church, and they were getting us to sing our praises to God unaccompanied and to sing out whatever had come on our hearts. Now, as anyone here who knows me knows, that I am not by any means a singer, and I was way out of my depth and felt so uncomfortable singing out loud in front of people with words that the Lord had put in my heart. It was really, really, really out of my comfort zone. And later on, in one of the breaks, I was chatting to this lady, and she gave me this advice. And she said, Jane, the Lord listens to your heart and tunes his ear accordingly. The Lord, now I don't know if she'd heard me singing or not, but she certainly had heard me complaining, but that's what she said. The Lord listens to your heart and tunes his ear accordingly. He wants our alleluias to be given with a pure heart, a strong faith, a deep love, a confident trust, an obedient will, and a sacrificial life. Hallelujahs to our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. But the Lord wants our individual praise, but he also wants our corporate praise. Yes, there are some beautiful solo voices. We've heard some already this morning. We will hear some more in a short while. And those soloists can lift not only their own hearts, but our hearts as we listen to them sing. But God also wants us to sing together in harmony. I will never have a voice like Daryl Simpson's. And I will never be able to play the organ like Kerry Williams. Even though I can do grade one, Pachelbel's Canon and D, but I couldn't do it in public. But I'm never going to be able to do it to that standard. But as they offer up their hallelujahs to God, my heart and my voice and my hands can join in that worship with one heart and one mouth. And again, we read in the book of Romans this time, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So finally, we look at who should praise God. At the start of the psalm, it is clear that God's praises should be sung in the temple, and that the psalmist had in mind the Levitical priests as they carried out their duties in leading God's people in worship. Today, we might say that translates to the minister and to the worship leaders, to the choir masters and the choirs and the musicians, whether that's accompanied with an organ or a praise band or a camerata as we have this morning. But it also includes the people who gather together to worship. God's chosen people called to worship him. So if you are a believer this morning, then part of your calling is to worship God, to bring him your praises and his thank him for his greatness and his goodness to you. But here at the end of the psalm, the psalmist broadens out his audience. Not just God's people. Not just the priests and the choir. Not just the people gathered here to worship. The psalmist calls, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He wants all of creation to come together to worship God. Ecclesiastes tells us that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men and women. All men and all women have eternity placed in their hearts. Some people just aren't aware of where that missing piece is in their lives. We are called to praise him and offer our alleluias. We are called so that we can call out to others to let them know the wonderful God whom we worship. But everything that has breath has been called to worship God. That reminds us that God is the one who gives us breath in the first place. He breathed life into creation. He breathed life into Adam and to all people who have followed him. So whether you're Jew or Gentile, English, Irish, Welsh or Scottish, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're male or female, whether you're musical or tone deaf, we're all called to worship the Lord with every breath that we have. What have we been given breath for? We need to breathe, to live, to function, to eat, to sleep, to work and to play. But one commentator says the highest use of breath is sincere praise to the giver of it. The highest use of breath is sincere praise to the giver of that breath. So let us take the breath that we have been given and use it to offer hallelujahs to God when we gather together in worship. And when we go out in the world to serve him, let us use the breath that we have been given to offer hallelujahs to God for all he has done for us and to praise him for the wonderful God he is. Let us use the breath we have to worship our great God with song, with music, and with dance. And let us use the breath we have to join with all creation and offer our heartfelt Alleluia to the Lord of Lords and to the King of Kings. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of music. We thank you for the breath of life. We thank you for the many great things that you have done in our lives. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would breathe into us your hope and your joy and your inspiration, and that we would return that tenfold to you, and that we would declare our hallelujahs to you and to the world around, that all people everywhere will one day unite together and let everything that has breath give praise to our mighty God. Amen. Your offering will be received. A little instruction for those who are collecting the offering. If you would just come up and once you've collected the offering, leave the plates on the table and then return to your seat because the camarade are going to be leading us in a piece of music, and I'll then say the dedication prayer after that piece is finished. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all your greatness and goodness to us. And we pray that you would take these, our offerings, and our very selves, and that you would use them for the advancement of your great kingdom here on earth, so that all men everywhere will cry out to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings as their Saviour and Lord, and would join with all heaven as we bring our hallelujahs to your throne of grace. Amen. The choir, the Dynam Camerata, are going to lead us again in another Welsh song, and the translation will be on the screens.
Amen.
beautiful piece. Our final hymn this morning is an ancient Irish hymn. It was written in the 8th century in the local language, which was Gaelic. The song is Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. It was translated in the 1800s by Mary Elizabeth Byrne and then was versified by Eleanor Henrietta Hull. And it gives my heart joy to see how men and women right across the centuries have helped us to worship our great God. And I'm thrilled that Daryl has returned from America, and before he goes off to Germany, I think, is it Germany? That he has got a little window here to join with us. And so Daryl's going to sing the opening verse of Be Thou My Vision, and then we're all going to stand and sing from verse 2 onwards. Daryl. He has done great things. He has taught us. So we rejoice, O Lord, in the victory that you have given us over sin and death. And we raise our hallelujahs to you today. And we ask for your blessing to be upon us, the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.